NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUC English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Wang Sipei.
And I'm Yanbing Xuan. Today is Monday, December 8th, the 13th week of this term.
Coming up, to movie master Yao Qi and Wei Nan visited our school and gave us a lecture.
Never try originality, because all the movies, post-productions, as well as posters, are copied.
A terrorist attack happened in Xinjiang on November 28th, causing 15 deaths.
Police in patrol nearby immediately split into two ways and flocked the suspect, surprising them into the foot street.
Ferguson police officer who killed black teenagers resigns, triggering huge debates.
The city manager has accepted Officer Wilson's resignation, and as of yesterday, Officer Wilson is no longer an employee with the city of Ferguson.
And comment on Finland's legalized same-sex marriage.
Everyone has the right to pursue love of any kind. And everyone has the duty to promote the equality of all forms of love.
And this is Weekly Focus. Good evening, welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On November 13th, two movie masters, Yao Qi and Wei Nan, visited our school and gave us a lecture about their own experiences and thoughts of the movie industry as insiders. Yao Qi, who is the only Chinese in the special effects crew of movie 2012, is a well-known special effect maker of Hollywood. His magnum opuses are The Matrix 3, Star Trek, and Spartacus, etc. Wei Nan is the founder of Visualized Marketing of Chinese Movies, which can be simplified as the director of a movie trailer. Our correspondent Guo Rui was there.
We all know that a trailer is usually only a few minutes, even less, but a whole movie is much more longer than that. So how do you judge which scenes or pictures will be used in a trailer and why?
Well, the foundation of making a trailer is your appreciation of beauty, your understanding of the film. Actually, the film editing as well as the background music and special effects are not the key, which is supposed to be your appreciation of the beauty. But what exactly is that? I think that is what I appreciate in a movie. So if I'm editing a trailer, I'll pick the most commercial senses, because a trailer is an advertisement of the movie. So we only pick the most catchy parts, which means superstars for China's abnormal movie market. The second is telling lies to boost yourself. Themes are very important as well, and those best-sold movies are all about love or comedy. What I can only do is fitting in the market.
You've mentioned commercial trailers many times, so what exactly a commercial trailer is?
Well, just like a commenter said, made in a mess and show nothing about the art of movies.
Wow, that's interesting. And what kind of trailer is not commercial?
Well, those revolting and creative ones, like the pre-trailer of Return. You've all learned editing and are aware that we can't use too many close-up shots in the work, because that's raw. But for more expressive force, we did use an unconventional way, like using close-up shots all the time. That's what I think an uncommercial trailer should be.
Thank you, Guo Rui. Now I believe that we all have a new understanding of movie making, and I hope that there will be more fabulous movies on showing.
School of Presentation Arts conducted the 16th Qiyue Festival on November 27th and November 28th. Qiyue Festival is the top competition in the claim field of China. Many students majored in broadcasting and anchoring participated in this competition. Our correspondent Yue Yunfan was there.
I'm now at the site of Qiyue Festival with one of the viewers tonight, who is a freshman of School of Presentation Arts at the same time. Well, which work impressed you the most?
I think the third composition and
the Chu Shibiao impressed me the most because their performance is perfect. They're really enthusiastic about their performance. So I enjoyed watching them.
The work Chu Shibiao finally got the first prize. There were 100 works selected from various schools. Only 28 of them entered the first round and 10 were left to the final round, and 2 were awarded the first prize. What's the selecting standard?
There are 4 aspects to be considered, including ideological level, artistical level, aesthetic level, and level worth watching.
There are 1,000 Qiyue festivals in 1,000 people's eyes. It's the 16th year now of holding this contest. What does it mean to the judge and the viewer tonight, respectively?
The most notable feature is that the festival is advanced with times, and all the themes and expressions means are changing and enriching. Also, those participants got improvement in the area of profession. In my view, Qiyue Festival is really a giant feast in the declining field.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Congratulate on the winners. All of the superiors today represent the highest level of declaiming in China. We wish all of the declaiming lovers could keep your dreams and came to this stage one day.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. A terrorist attack broke out in Xinjiang on November 28th, causing 15 deaths. 4 people died and 14 were injured in a terrorist attack in Shashi County, Xinjiang. A group of 9 building terrorists attacked Main Street with many food outlets by using explosives at 1:30 p.m. 11 of the terrorists were shot to death by the police. After the incident, police and medical experts have been sent to the spot by local authorities.
The police and patrol nearby immediately split into 2 ways and flocked the suspect, surprising them into the foot street while evacuating the residents. A later search discovered crime tools of explosives, long blades and axes. Medical teams were sent by the autonomous government shortly after the scene. Proper health care has been given to the injured, but the case is still under investigation.
China has blamed the unrest on Uyghurs pushing for the region's independence. Also in Shashi, a gang of terrorists with knives and axes killed 37 civilians in an attack on July 28. A local court sentenced 12 terrorists to death and 50 others to death with a 2-year reprieve in October.
Guangdong reports first H7N9 case in winter. South China's Guangdong province on Friday reported its first case of human infection of the H7N9 strain of bird flu this winter, according to the Guangdong Provincial Health and Family Planning Commission, said in a statement. A 31-year-old woman surnamed Deng from the city Dongguan was confirmed being infected with the H7N9 virus on November 28th. The patient, who is under treatment at hospital in the provincial capital of Guangzhou, is in critical condition.
A recent evaluation carried by disease control specialists in Guangdong says there is a risk in district H7N9 outbreak through flocked human infection during this winter to the next spring. Disease control experts suggest that the citizens wash their hands after trading in flock market and that visited the doctors promptly whenever symptoms of fever, headache, coughing, and so on occurred, and tell the doctor that he or she has been interacting with flock.
H7N9 is a bird flu strain of the species influenza virus A. Most of the cases resulted in severe respiratory illness, with a mortality rate of roughly 30%. It has been established that many of the human cases of H7N9 appear to have a link to live bird market.
Okay, let's look at the international news. Ferguson police officer who killed black teen resigns, triggering a huge debate. The white police officer who shot and killed an unarmed black teenager in St. Louis suburb has resigned. An activist set out on a 120-mile march to protest the killing and a grand jury decision not to indict him.
The city manager has accepted Officer Wilson's resignation, and as of yesterday, Officer Wilson is no longer an employee with the city of Ferguson. There is no severance agreement with Officer Wilson and the City of Ferguson. The City of Ferguson will not be making a severance payment to Officer Wilson.
The incident has led to months of sometimes violent protests in Ferguson. It has reignited a debate over race relations and the use of police force in the U.S. On November 29, activists set off a 7-day march from Ferguson to Jefferson City, the state capital. The National Association organized the march for the advancement of colored people. The NAACP is calling for reform of police practices, a new police chief in Ferguson, and a national law to prevent racial profiling by police.
Egyptian courts drops case against ex-president Mubarak. An Egyptian court on November 29th dropped its case against ousted President Mubarak on charges of ordering the killing of protesters during the 2011 revolt. He was removed from power after the charge and was originally sentenced to life in jail. Egyptian police have used tear gas to disperse protesters' anger about the dropping of the charge. About 2,000 people massed in Cairo's Tahrir Square, the birthplace of the 2011 revolution.
Egypt has been witnessing unstable political conditions since Morsi's removal. In response, the Egyptian security forces have been intensifying security over the past few days to prepare for Friday protests, with about 220,000 equipped military and police officers and soldiers deployed across the country.
At least one person was reported killed in the clashes. Relatives of those killed in 2011 said that there was no justice for the poor. In a TV interview after the ruling, Mubarak said he did nothing wrong. The former president is 86-year-old. He is serving a separate 3-year sentence for embezzlement of public funds. He is currently being held in a military hospital and is expected to serve at least a few months of the sentence.
Okay, let's move on to Weekly News Minute. A huge event for our school, the final of Chi Yue Festival, was held last week. The final attended all they can to present a fabulous show that night. In addition to the competitors' brilliant performance, many celebrities attend this event, such as Kang Hui, Ouyang Xiadan, Qin Guizi, Zhou Tao, and Li Ruiying also attend as judges.
Last week, 2014 CUC Ping Pong Championship was held in the school gym. All grades could join in this competition. The championship was divided into team events and individual events. After a fierce competition, a student in School of International Study, also the leader of school's ping pong team, won the individual event.
An extravagant wedding in Tangshan, Hebei Province has set tongues wagging amid a national campaign promoting frugality. Dozens of celebrities were reportedly present at the wedding ceremony, including one of China's most popular TV hostesses, Li Xiang. Gift money for the new couple ranged from several hundred yuan to more than 100,000 yuan. The luxury wedding raised speculation about whether it had violated the current austerity movement launched by the central leadership.
The Standing Committee of the Beijing Municipal People's Congress passed a smoking control regulation on Friday, forbidding smoking in public places such as bars, restaurants, hotels, office buildings, vehicles, and the outdoor areas of schools, hospitals, and stadiums. The regulation cements a previous rule by the municipal government curbing indoor smoking. In future, violators will be fined up to 200 yuan. Bar and restaurant owners who are unwilling to put up no smoking signs or who allow clients to smoke despite the regulation will be handed down to higher penalties of 2,000 yuan to 10,000 yuan.
Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who rose to power in large part by opposing a tax on greenhouse gas emissions, is finding his country isolated than ever before on climate change as the US, China, and other nations signal new momentum for action. Abbott tried and failed to keep the issue off the agenda of the annual G20 Summit of Wealthy and Emerging Countries that was hosted by the Australian city of Brisbane in mid-November. An agreement between Washington and Beijing to curb emissions announced days before the summit suggests he had misjudged the international mood on this issue.
Demonstrators temporarily shut down 3 large shopping malls in Missouri on a busy shopping day as rallies were held nationwide to protest the grand jury's recent decision not to indict the white police officer who fatally shot unarmed black 18-year-old Michael Brown. Several stores lowered their security doors or locked entrances as at least 200 protesters sprawled onto the floor while chanting, "Stop shopping and join the movement." At the Galleria Mall just south of Ferguson, the St. Louis suburb where Brown was killed. Okay, this is the end of Weekly Review. The next will be sports and entertainment news.
so nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sport news. After confirming that the next year's Africa Cup of Nations final will not be staged in Morocco, the Confederation of African Football is reviewing possible hosts for the tournament.
Senior officials at the Confederation of African Football meeting in Cairo have now focused their attention on finding a late replacement to stage the Cup of Nations. They seem determined to press ahead with the existing dates and have said other countries have indicated a desire to organize it despite the short notice. Several nations, including South Africa and Ghana, have already declined an offer to host the tournament. Morocco has been thrown out of Africa's biggest sporting event after it requested a postponement due to fears over the Ebola epidemic.
Zhejiang Swimming Association announced that Sun Yang's national 1,500-meter freestyle title was stripped as he had failed a doping test during the national championship this May. Sun gave up the chance to have the B sample tested, and experts decided to hand him a 3-month ban. He said he used the drug for medical reasons and had been unaware of that it was listed in WADA's 2014 prohibited list. Authorities in Georgia are investigating child abuse allegations against NBA star Dwight Howard, police said on Tuesday. Police declined to elaborate on details of the Howard investigation. Entertainment news website TMZ said Howard is accused of beating his 6-year-old son with a belt buckle. A group of San Francisco Bay Area business, sports and civic leaders will bid to host the 2024 Olympics. It is putting together a proposal for the United States Olympic Committee. The group is proposing to build a $350 million temporary stadium for the opening and closing ceremonies, as well as for the track and field events. After the games, the stadium parts will be recycled and the area turned into a park. According to the official, the beach volleyball court will be set up in front of San Francisco City Hall, while table tennis will be located in Chinatown. The USOC said it will wait to make a decision on the US bid until after the International Olympic Committee meets in December. The IOC will select the host of 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games in 2017. Spectators gave a minute's applause to Australian cricketer Philip Hughes before England's international rugby test match against Australia at Twickenham Stadium in London, November 29, 2014. More than 82,000 fans and the players and officials of England and Australia rugby teams were united in the minute's applause in tribute to Australian cricketer Philip Hughes, who died this week after being struck on the head while batting. As the world comes to terms with the death of Australian cricketer Philip Hughes, questions are being raised about safety in what has for decades been known as the gentleman's game. Hughes was struck beneath the ear, just outside the helmet, by a bouncer during a match between South Australia and New South Wales in Australia on Tuesday. 2 days later, he became the first international cricketer to die from an injury while batting. That's all for sport, let's move on to entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight. It must be tough for Beijingers. Beijing citizens will soon wave goodbye to the city's low-price transportation system. The municipal government announced subway and bus fare hikes, and the new fares, which will formally take hold on December 28th, put bus fares starting at 2 yuan and subway fares at 3 yuan. So guys, spare more time now to hang out with your friends, because you will soon find it too expensive to just go out of our district. China's Education Minister Yuan Guiren said on November 26 that soccer will be factored in when forming a comprehensive quality assessment of students, adding that schools will keep a record on students' soccer skills. So apparently, it's the will of the whole country to change our terrible soccer situation. On November 23rd, China's internet singing sensation Chopstick Brothers performed their rival hit Little Apple at the 2014 American Music Award. And according to Soundsend.com, the song Little Apple has been played to at least 500 million listeners worldwide. But from the confused and astonished look of those audience, we can simply tell that they must take them as totally being mad. On November 20th, President Obama gave a major speech on immigration. And believe it or not, the speech was immediately followed by the Latin Grammys. It seemed just like under Obama's plan, the winner of the Latin Grammys could stay in America and the losers will be deported. Let's take a look at Hillary Clinton. She's in the news where she has been calling President's foreign policy a failure. So for many, it seems that she either wants to become president or a Fox News anchor. You know, criticizing Obama is always their cup of tea. A new study conducted by a public health school in Baltimore found that students buying school lunches select fruit or vegetables only half the time, and most kids don't even eat even a single bite. They also suggested changing the lunch environment could encourage kids to make better choices. Well, actually, I don't think it's a problem to make a decision for us, because in most school canteens in China, they don't offer fruit at all. A true story about Black Friday. Two women in California camped out of Best Buy since November the 5th. That's 20 days before Thanksgiving. Do you know what you can accomplish in 22 days? Well, at least I won't give up my annual turkey feast just to buy a new printer. Now there's a new Barbie doll coming out with an average girl's body shape. It is called Normal Barbie. Yes, that's exactly what she's called, and if she hangs around with a Malibu Barbie, you will soon find it suitable to call her Fat Friend Barbie. Last Friday, a vote was passed in Finland to legalize same-sex marriage. The vote made Finland the last Nordic country to pass same-sex legalization. Our commentator Chen Zhuang and Huang Aiping will comment on this issue.
Dear audiences, welcome to Weekly Commentary. I'm Chen Zhuang.
And I'm Huang Aiping.
Aiping, do you know how many countries have legalized homosexual marriage?
As I remember, 11 countries have already passed laws to protect gay and lesbian marriage. Besides, some other countries and a few states in USA have passed proposals on this issue.
Well, you are partly right. But now, there are 12 countries with such legal protection. Because on November 28, Finland passed a vote to legalize same-sex marriage. The country's parliament narrowly voted in favor of the move last Friday. After the vote passed, celebrations erupted outside the Finland parliament and beyond.
Well, this must be heaven for gay lovers in Finland. In fact, as far as I know, after the vote, Finland became the last Nordic country to legalize gay marriage. Actually, since 2002, same-sex couples in Finland have already been able to enter into registered partnerships. You see, European countries are really going much further than us on this issue, don't you think so?
I have to say yes. But over the years, China has also made significant efforts to accept homosexuals. Ever since 1997, movements toward gay marriage can be found throughout the country. Many people, including public figures, support the movements. And what is most reassuring is the mainstream media, such as the China Daily, cover these events in a positive attitude. So, I do think it's hopeful for China to legalize same-sex marriage.
And I do notice a gradual attitudinal shift is occurring among Chinese young people. Just look around us, girls loving Japanese gay comics, some of my classmates talking casually and openly about gay relationships and so on. So, this is really becoming an open topic for most of us. Good thing, isn't it?
Yes, it's true that nowadays, young people are viewing it with acceptance and tolerance, but difficulties still remain for homosexuals. Most of the pressure comes from family and society. Chinese parents are still not that liberal to accept their sons and daughters being gay or lesbian. If a man in a traditional family comes out of the closet, his parents will most probably introduce him to different blind dates and push him to get married and have a baby. What's more, in society, gays sometimes tend to be stigmatized, and therefore, they lack confidence and legal protection to come out. Because of this, many homosexuals choose to hide their identity or even marry someone of the opposite sex just to comply to social norms. Isn't it pathetic?
True, it is. But further concerns should also be estimated. For example, we traditionally believe that children should be brought up by a mother and a father. The gay parents will undermine this institution and cause successive social problems. Nothing will be achieved unless we thoroughly take such problems into consideration.
And to sum up, everyone has the right to pursue love of any kind. And everyone has the duty to promote the equality of all forms of love. Until social pressure to get married for young men and women eases, the fight for Chinese gay rights will come to an end. But we also have to be sensible and estimate all the possible consequences if we legalize same-sex marriage.
That's all for the weekly commentary. Thank you for listening. I'm Huang Aiping.
And I'm Chen Zhuang. See you next week.
Thank you, Chen Zhuang and Aiping. We'll offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
Temperatures is falling sharply this week. It seems like the chilly wind can blow us away. It's high time for you to take out your down jacket. Please put up as much clothes as you can to keep out the cold. Reduce outdoors activities to protect your health. These are the selecting news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus is on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Wang Sipei. See you.
And I'm Yan Bingxuan. See you. You're listening to Weekly Focus. Tomorrow, same time, same place, C Countdown will bring you the brand new section, Static. Static while listening to the music. See you tomorrow. Bye. 更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。